As we wrap up the session this week, one of those very busy weeks where a lot of different, not just different bills go through, but different subjects, different topics. One of those bills that's on its way or on the governor's desk now pertains to civics in school.
Yes, right, Dean. That was a real priority for one of the senators that I serve with, Senator Riddle. She's worked on that bill for, I think, 3 years to try to get that passed. If anybody watches Fox News and ever sees Waters World, there's always kind of a shocker when you see him walk around with a microphone, open mic, and call people up off the streets and ask them questions that those in my generation would think everyone would know, that we would have learned in civics class or would have just learned by reading the newspapers or other ways. To see some of the kind of funny answers that he gets illustrates that there isn't necessarily a really good foundational knowledge of civics, of our constitutional processes in this country and in this state. Senator Riddle had put together some language and had been working on it to require students to at least pass, before graduation, a test that is given to immigrants when they come in. I think there's 100 questions on the test. They're pretty basic questions about the branches of government and legislative issues, and I mean the kind of things that we all learned in civics years ago. And today, a lot of schools, you don't even teach civics anymore, is my understanding. So this was a way to kind of bring back at least an introduction to those basic fundamental principles. And it did pass this week, and so it will be required now in our schools. It won't take a long time. They can pretty well administer it at any time during the high school career. It doesn't have to be at the last of the career, but it is going to be required for graduation. And so it's something that, at a very minimum, they'll be exposed to a little bit of civics, where teachers are already teaching much further than this goes, I mean, much beyond this. Some of those have pushed back a little bit because they're saying, well, this really isn't civics. I mean, I teach civics, and it's a whole lot more than this. And we say, well, congratulations, we're pleased with that. But this assures that every student will get at least a glimpse into the structure of our government.
Other bills that have had some time devoted to them over the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks now, pertain to some form of infrastructure or another in terms of electricity, natural gas, or water. And I think you have one of those either as a sponsor for the Senate or a handler for a House bill that pertains to the water end of things.
That's right. And that bill actually has failed for the year. I mean, we had picked that up and attached it to another bill that is significant and now has passed. And it's a bill that involves Department of Natural Resources and the treatment of wastewater. It's interesting that a lot of municipalities, and in my district, a lot of rural districts, are continually confronted with wastewater treatment issues. And some of them may have faced $1-3 million bonding issues in order to try to address that. Representative Remley in the Missouri House had become aware of this biological process that was very effective and very inexpensive and could do amazing things in terms of treating wastewater. And so he filed a bill this year that essentially said that the Department of Natural Resources has to make sure that every community that they deal with knows about these processes. And you would think, well, why would you have to do that? Why would you have to put that in statute? And that was one of my first questions. And his answer was because many times in the field people for DNR, even though he was getting wholehearted support from the people here in Jeff City at the top for the process, he said the field people frequently simply were not telling the municipalities and the small counties that this kind of a process was available. Instead, we're helping them secure grants and bonding issues and other ways to spend large amounts of money, sometimes almost insurmountable for some of these small communities, in order to build these huge mechanical treatment facilities. And this is a process where some of the companies that provide it, they can put 2 5-gallon buckets in the trunk of a car and haul it to the site of the wastewater, dump it in, and within a week or two, the water is unbelievably clean. The transformation is pretty amazing. Representative Remley has done some site visits. He's seen this stuff in action. We have a number of companies that have already used it in Missouri very successfully, and we're talking about taking something that might cost into the millions and moving that down to maybe a few $1,000s, which is a dramatic increase and benefit to these local communities. So now that this law has passed, the governor signs it, then it will, in fact, make sure that our municipalities and our rural communities know that this process is effective and is available to them if that's what they choose. It doesn't mandate that they use it or even that they talk to anyone about it. It just makes sure they know it's available. I think it could have terrific benefits for the state and for taxpayers, for citizens of communities that are facing wastewater problems. Another issue that was in that same bill was a water issue up in, particularly in the northwest part of the state. There's an absence of surface water, and so in dry seasons, they can get into some real tough situations. farms, and it's basically a study to see how they should address being more prepared for dry seasons. It allows them to make certain agreements and arrangements. It's a relatively complicated bill, but the bottom line is it just allows them to start talking together and working together to try to solve this problem of water, and increasingly aware of the importance of water and the fact that water is a very valuable resource that we do seem to be using more of and not finding any more of. So as we irrigate more farms, as we use more in agriculture and other uses, then something like this study can be real valuable. It'll be years in implementing. I'm glad to see that they can begin to do that planning and to begin preparation for what we need to be doing over the next few years to be prepared in the future for shortages of water in that part of the state.
How would you rate the success of this session all told?
You know, there are a lot of things that I think have been very successful. So I personally would think that this has been a very successful session. We passed things that I did not think we would even try to work hard on in an election year, because those years are different. People are sometimes concerned. We're not finished yet. I think we still have some significant things to do. But I've been pleased. I was disappointed that we were not able to do any of the utility regulation reforms that we tried to work on. But you have disappointments every legislative year. And so that's something we'll just get over and we'll work on again another year. But overall, with some of the things that have been accomplished, I think that this has been a successful year. Hopefully we'll do those things that will help citizens and taxpayers and won't punish them.
You talk about the utility regulation. Those always seem to be difficult. Sometimes they never even make it to the floor. And this time, three different versions of bills made it to the floor.
I think that's the problem. This year, because of the type of reforms we were doing, they were similar in their approach. We thought that this would be a good year to go ahead and do a gas reform, a water reform, and an electricity reform, because we were hoping that one would help in the understanding of the other. That didn't work out the way we thought it would. I think people felt a little bit overwhelmed by trying to consider all three at the same time, especially since we tried to take them all up the same day. That really did, I think, stir up some sense of being overwhelmed, and I'm just not sure that I'm capable of understanding all of these at the same time. We had hoped that would work together, but it didn't. Anytime you do regulatory reform, it's never absolutely certain, because you're dealing with things that we have different expectations for. There are certain expectations I have going into these regulation reforms, that there are things that I think if we do, they'll come up with certain results, but I can't necessarily prove to someone else that they will. Now, that's the difference between a regulated monopoly and a free market. I would like to see us move towards a deregulated energy industry where we let the marketplace set the rules. We let the marketplace decide the right prices and the right parameters for supplying electricity or providing natural gas or water. And that maybe will be in our future somewhere. Illinois has done that and has had seen a lot of success. Some other states have done it, some with more success, some with less. But when you're in a regulated environment, you are acting as if you control all those things. And we can't. We can only guess at the results of what we're trying to do. And so you have uncertainty from consumers. They're not sure whether what you're doing is good for them. And you can't absolutely prove that it is, other than just look at other states and look at other things that have been done. And so you try to do all that. But it's difficult when you are trying to manage an environment rather than simply address the needs within an environment. And that's the difference between a regulated monopoly and a free enterprise system.